described the performance of the famous Carter Spring to the Middle East, the trial and wrap up. We are speaking in the Chinese room in their presence, the American Press Corps, the human presence, on Monday evening, the 15th of March 79, and George Powell gave a briefing which everybody who attended the meeting characterized as the failure of President Carter's mission. Damned, doomed, for the thought, the brain is absolutely unrelenting. And while he was briefing the American press, I happened to be going over to the few days over and found Effie telling great this kind of joke. And they were discussing what best to serve for the sake of breakfast meeting the following morning between Begin and Carter. And the joke that the scrambled eggs or fried eggs.
Tomatoes.
And from the surface of the conversation, and then I remember Dick Phillips, who was UGM number two of the American Embassy, but the man brought in. It was very clear to me at that point, early in the evening, that the mission effect was not fair, and that everything was pointing to some probably the dream of the second which Begin was expecting to be a dream. And I didn't think of it. I regret today our man in Washington, who said that was with the American Press Corps, and his leaders do. They thought you didn't get those powers. But I dare say the two papers about the two papers, I think the rest is in the research as well, which came out saying that there's a break in the people who were going to be given a good chance to run up. We were in great threat of a minority of one. There were very few American correspondents later who even had seen our report trying to shine down on George Powell's truth. George Powell's book refers to that, if I am true, I learned that Moshe Dayan was at a meeting with John. I perhaps should have found out rather quickly whether it was actually true. Diane in Bank. Captain had decided, I wouldn't, decided to reverse the battle, the one first part of the war in Portland. And with a major majority, we all know what happened. The next week, the American president went to Portland, the Sadat Shah announced in November, which is signed. Now, I'm bringing this up to case in point, because here there was a deliberate attempt. But a senior American government spokesman to manipulate people, to make Israel look bad, deliberately, not even hoping that something would come out the following day, but he was already thinking how would we present it to the American public that Carter returned to Washington. And there were tightness, the American headquarters, including some of the best White House and State Department correspondents, an anchorman, and most of them tell me that
my name is Roger Starr. I'm the first person to identify myself who spoke here. I don't want to hide behind any quote of anonymity. I'm very grateful to my friend Ari for making clear that Americans misrepresent just like Israeli officials. But I'd also like to clear up one great misunderstanding that seems to pervade this entire room, and that is that American officials have just as much trouble with American reporters in the city of New York as Israeli officials have in the city of, let's say, Jerusalem. I was a government official before it fell to me to become a newspaper person. And there came a day when my office was besieged with a city. And all of a sudden, I had to leave my office in control of a group of people who were complaining about something to do with their housing conditions. Among the city was a reporter for a newspaper for which I now have the honor to work. And he was in my room, and they wanted me to come in and speak to them while they sat behind my desk. I should stand in front of the desk like a humble petitioner. Well, I'm neither a petitioner nor particularly humble, you will see that I get. And I said, no. If you want to talk to me, you leave my room, I will sit behind my desk, and then you can come in and talk to me, and we'll have a meeting. And they said, we won't do that. This is our room. And to my astonishment, I heard the reporter from the New York Times say to the petitioners, you better do what he says, because it will look a hell of a lot better in the newspaper tomorrow. Now, if that's news reporting in the city of New York, you can imagine what it's like in the city of Jerusalem. The fact of the matter is that the press, particularly the reporting press, not us editorial writers, is preternaturally suspicious of people who have titles after their name, who represent governments, and who are speaking on behalf of the public, or say they are. And that suspicion, it seems to me, is worldwide, is part of the reporter's craft, and to believe that it's peculiarly a relationship between American reporters and Israeli officials is a
mistake. I'm not talking about the Israeli officials.
Really more interested than earthquakes and revolutions. but the press does not find that the agency of liability and the region is correct. So it's a real question of whether if reality were otherwise, in Israel, that there would be any attention paid, or maybe that's when Israel would leave the front page. And that would be too bad, but I think. But in any case, the fact is that... Anyway, the fact is that this is Israel's problem, and whether there is any way if one were in charge of the public relations of Israel, sympathetic to Israel's cause, whether there were any way to attract attention to the things that have been submerged by this the total preoccupation with what it means.
May I produce this as the quickest I possibly might produce it? The general side of the broadcast is the most objective one back to
the other one's the other one.
Image which people had. there's a certain kind of legitimacy Israel had, there's a certain kind of legitimacy and sense of superiority which Western institutions had, and these were still peoples who somehow, in terms of behavior, didn't quite measure up. Now, that sense of legitimacy of Israel and of Western institutions has come into question. And that's one of the reasons that things look differently and different facts, different portions, different aspects of truth. Now, whether they should have come into question is another big, to the extent they have, is another big question. And I suspect that, in fact, Arab, quote, misbehavior is not overlooked. It's overlooked partially because Americans aren't directly involved. I think that's certainly true. But we are involved. But it isn't overlooked because we expect less of them. It's overlooked, I suspect, to a greater extent because of our belief that these are people who have been oppressed and poor because of the actions of the West, the dominant West, the institutions they're critical of, and therefore we really can't blame them for this behavior. All down to them. We can blame ourselves, hold ourselves to high standards, but we can't hold them. Now, we have some evidence on this, and the impression has begun that the majority of American journalists believe that we've been exploited. American journalists believe that we've been exploited. While they have a moral commitment to Israel, they do believe that the West has been involved in exploiting the relations with these countries, and that's bound to affect those facts that seem to be important and the way they're brought out. Rightly or wrongly. So it isn't simply the truth factor. It's a different kind of truth that has come into play since the days of going to be. That may be a better truth, but it's a different truth. And it's not simply a change in Israel, it's a change in us in the way we see reality. I think.
Who do you identify?
My name is David Greenway, and I'm the foreign editor of the Boston Globe and a former correspondent in Israel. And I thought it was important to set at this stage before we come to this moment. There may be mistakes in facts, as Andy said, but there's an enormous effort to get this right. And the famous 600,000 that is mentioned everywhere is kind of interesting. I did a study of this in preparation for the conference in Jerusalem, and the number of times the New York Times and the Washington Post tried to update the cashier in the fog of war with a changing story. That erroneous figure was indeed presented, but it was also correct. And it was an attempt many times over, all through the information, to correct the figures. The figures on the Israeli side came out from the internet and and in fact, we in the end had to do a story about casual infections. It's about a separate story. So here all the casual infections we've gotten through the whole process of the war. So there is an effort to get them straight. Many facts are not checkable by themselves. We are the victims of what we've been told. So when Zeb Lipsky talks about whether we print the truth, we also print the truth as told to us. Circumstances where we can go and see something. In most cases, we're victims of hope. And we're just trying to get as many cross-references on that as we can. But in Israel's case, that we should notice more than anything, no editor can make a mistake, allow a mistake about a story about Israel, because Jewish community very deliberate on the subject, that we can make this very thorough. I'm not allowed to make this, and when I do, I hear about it the next day. That's the way it should be. I really wish that every human being would be the same way, and that all the mistakes we make would be brought up to us. But no newspaper editor can be sloppy about the facts of this particular story. I promise you, we make mistakes.
Thank you. One more, and then we'll smoke. We'll get under the hour anyway, or I'll get back to you by the time. So I'll get my mouth off.
terrified. Western Europe and India. And so if we think this is something peculiar to our own trust, I think we might be a little bit off mark.
We're going to conclude our session this evening with a comment by Dr. David Sikorsky, professor of philosophy at Columbia, who has also served as a conference consultant. He just mentioned before Dr. Sikorsky's remarks before we adjourn that the session tomorrow will begin at 9 and end no later than 5. Coffee and donuts will be available at 8:30. I'm regretting the extreme that I will not be with you in the morning, but I have to take the course at Harvard.
It's not only that I feel that any issue, but of course the question of an issue is my personal comment that tries to focus on the agenda of the world. We have at this time, I'm not sure whether I'm coming to that issue, that midnight breakfast or after night dessert. And of course I can tell you why that arose. It arose because my colleagues on the right here, in our felt that the session might be bland. And he wanted someone to draw the issue sharply. And I assured him that the session was not bland. That even the lightness tonight was showing how many of the passionate issues were burning. But he insisted that I try to sharpen the issues. And in that sense, I thought, how can a boss who brings home to Newcastle? And since you all have a partial purpose, and of course you said this is a point you don't have to hold to, it's only as I recall when Charsky over the press. From now on we publish the truth. And the outgoing editor forgot what his name is, his own newspaper publishes the truth. Therefore, I cannot give you any more of the partial truth and report this, you know better than I. The philosophers do specialize in something which Oscar Wilde calls deep truths. He defines deep truth, considering Niels Bohr picked it up without giving due description of the famous Copenhagen lecture. He defined the deep truth as anything the opposite of which is also a deep truth. It is a deep truth that haste takes waste, and it's a deep truth that sufficient time saves none. It's a deep truth that general public fight the last war, and it's a deep truth that he does not study history and Jews to repeat it. And it's a deep truth that fools rush into angels fear to tread, and it's a deep truth that nothing venture, nothing gain. Now, my two deep truths for tonight are, of course, philosophical. And that means they are literally deep. They are not partial truths, they are not helpful, but they do set part of the spectrum of the agenda. One deep truth is Bishop Butler. Each thing is what it is, and not another. And if that's the case, and I'm as going to say that people as well, I'm concerned with the reality of this truth, not the truth. It is what it is, not another. The task of the reporter, presumably, on that case, will not affect the reality precisely, agency. This is, of course, true for the weather report. And the publication of the weather report does not affect the health. It's, of course, true for obituaries. But there is the opposite deep truth. And that opposite philosophical deep truth for that realism is, of course, in famous victory, S.E.S. Forgiven, the deepest deep receiver. And, of course, the chestnut is on it here. The way in which the fire can take place in the theater is recorded absolutely does and one can think of many illustrations, and Roger Starr's point about the reporter and the demonstration, where, of course, what is becomes part of the perception. In that sense, of course, the media are not the media communication in this case. Well, I guess the first reporter reporting some tape event in Altamira or something, the report helps shape the event. And reality is not each thing what it is, and not another thing that we are approximating, but of course reality is dependent upon the interpretation of the image. The image becomes part of the reality. Now in that sense, of course, how do you come to the first paper for a morning, which is the sharpest edition, history as a rough draft. Pardon me, journalism as a rough draft, history. course, if you have the objective model, then you say, the reporter draws the realistic picture. He gets confused and so that we have to use this rather big plate. And I tell you what I see. And of course, Stephen Crane, our first great war reporter for novels, exactly did that. He read that first. On the other hand, that just isn't true. If you look at the model, the idea that the reporter today, the electronic media that really makes the history, simply gives a rough draft, and then the story will come along and merge the draft quickly, then you overlook the truth about the news that you receive. And look, I think, here I learned today a little bit about what is newsworthy, because the reporter today, of course, must have the money. In a very consistent time frame of the economy, where it has in 1 minute, it has nothing to advise. Perhaps stories have drama, has a villain and a hero, or some sort of confrontation, which can be told quickly. In that sense, he doesn't want simply to do a draft. He does instant history. He does a story immediately. And that is why, this is an issue of many companies, that is why if the initial story from Lebanon, defined historical interpretation of Israel's fighting civilians. That is an interpretation, and that's the story. The fact that the correction comes later doesn't change the image of the story. Whereas, of course, you're absolutely right, the Normandy invasion, where there were all those French civilians and churches and buildings from, is a strategic invasion, after an ancient story. Of course, you could write the Israeli Bethlehem story as a strategic story. Port of Beirut, Beirut Damascus Highway, the high point of Ramadu, that's what you're at. That's what you're in the position. Nobody wrote this. Nobody writes the eventual retrospective historical story. The whole role of the Syrians was presented, but the issue was Israel functioning as American weapons, the Syrian functioning as social weapons, they not in the ultimate historical story, or control of the peace after the Port of Beirut, the airport of Beirut. So the first point that I must just make is that there are history. Is it a rough draft? Or is it an historical story that fits for dramatic newsworthy purposes? Then has to be passed. Now let me say one thing before I go forward, which I have to say before my perspective. My perspective here is not how history is covered. My perspective is simply what kind of culture do we have? Media communication we have in the world. And I think everyone in this room, of course, the journalists is more than the outside. Journalists living with the partial truths and difficulties are not me. Possible wild vice pack that I gave. The warrant of the years are responsible as the truth and do the job. And the problem here is the problem of the episode itself is crowded out unless it has a dramatic confrontation. Of course, you could say the ideal objective image is in canvas. We all know that wonderful image part of the cut of the world. Made for that. From before there was cabaret and lies and without a singing it, there wasn't. Before there was cabaret and Liza Minnelli singing it, there was I Am a Camera by Christopher Isherwood, based on the Berlin School. And the model of the camera is the objective part, and a very good one. But even with the camera, the interesting question becomes focus. And here is where I think the question, not only of national interest, but it seems to be the whole question focused in the Middle East does raise the problem. Because if you're focused in the Middle East, it's really the area as defined by State Department as to what happened, which means Morocco into Iran. Then you have at least five forces to cover. You have Morocco and Syria, and you have Libya, Chad, and you have Libya, Sudan. Israel, of course, victor in the war with Lebanon administration. You have at the same time North Yemen, South Yemen, and North, except for all cultures, and the largest population of Arabs. And you have, of course, the Iran and Iraqi war. If none of these is essential, focuses on Israel, I think it would be useful. Not in the same degree, but I find it
good.
I would love to show, the question of access is one question. I would love to show you the piece on the Times coverage that I've written during the week, day by day, the Iran-Iraq war with 15,000 casualties, getting to 200,000. line, and the West Bank has sold eight tests in Burton's Hundred Line, or two front page tests in the period of the Pussy Style.
That's exactly right. You've got me explaining the point I promised.
Interest. Access.
I'm not telling you.
But the point is, what happens to the focus of reality of our ideal would be? Perhaps it's an unfair idea. Journalism is an unfair idea. If our ideal were that the companies could be released, our focus is business. That's the question. I very much hope that my job is sharp. We will take objection. I think if you look at that focus, certainly the West Bank would be very mindful. That's unrealistic given the nature of our media and the role in society. And I think perhaps it is unrealistic. But what are realistic goals? It isn't only that intensity is focused on Israel. It's not the intensity focused on Israel, the problems, which really is part of the problem putting lives, putting women and putting cats. It's unique. There's one good question about it. You are covering, there is a difference between rough graphics, between local reporting, as a question. It seems to me that a future story, this new literature here, the American Jewish history, reading the press day by day, a future historian of New York, covering day by day the events, would discover that between the car game coverage, the bridge coverage, and the floral decoration coverage, and the auction coverage, and the ad, the picture of a reporting is not intended in the same way to give a picture of that discussion. More important is concerned that I'm an American athlete, faraway place that we can go very well. Or we get concerned with disaster and with the natural disaster or the catastrophe. Or we need to go to the country. I don't look forward to the way it is. The problem is that one thing is the way it is. Why do we call it the way? You have to cover it that almost is. And it tends to go to the way. Not just the main story, but the car accident we had, which we can day by day to try to do more. And I don't know whether any society can sustain that kind of focus, that's to say, the intensity of local government on the work. That, at any rate, seems to me to be a problem. Now, if we turn from the rough draft of history to the question which Roger Starr has raised, he's raised the question of not intensity of focus or of the definition and subject interpretation, or the intensity of the focus, he has raised the question of who is the one who cares. And there are, I think, three points that are most controversial here, and Roger will give you the part he can get in law school that the controversy here stares at, leaps up from the state. One is the choice of hypothesis. Surely, it's a very important unknown question. And he was interested. We asked Little Children at the CIA, does he know of any of the cases of disinformation? His answer was, yes, I know of one. The British press confusing Hitler on a Sunday morning. It was a very, very difficult situation. On the other hand, the European press was mentioned. Any agreement in argument, by persuasive segments of the European press, simply can be read in detail. Roger's point that we're going to know is the question of the degree to which adversarial culture, am I overstating, at any rate, the hypothesis I'm stating only, the degree to which the adversarial culture functions in ways which distort the issue, simply because of the need to be adversarial, the need to be adversarial arises from, as Mr. Austin said, the nature of recruitment in journalism. It certainly has a virtue. The question is, does the brain have a price? I certainly, just to use the illustration of Columbia, recognize very well that if you move on any issue of nuclear energy or anything controversial, from the school of engineering, school of business, school of journalism, you have lived through the joke of three requirements. This may be true of schools, not through the school of engineering, and certainly not through the university. You live through the say, I don't believe really we share that testimony. Phoenix relationship changed the way they parents. In 48, the press was not always a professional. There was an embargo on arms in Italy during the war. It was a great outcome. Let me come to the third conclusion. In some ways, come back to the theme of the show. Deep truth, one is that each thing is what it is about another thing, and the other deep truth. And if we apply this to the problem we need in our society, what is not from Christ's point of view, we should discern the pattern. We must be seen as a job we are doing. The problem is that on the first interpretation, the media emerged, community is free, all of us, community is free, working towards the rest of the world. The truth is there, we are free inquiries. Inquirers approaching, converging, listening, or imposing. And the censor going backwards, and the censor, blocking the open. And our right to hope and think that we arrive at the same score that is intervening in the process. But if we recognize as we realistic and think that it is not the same force that we are like media is the logical revolution, but the media are not simply a community of inquiry approaching the truth, but are also agenda setters for our society. People frame the question. They realize that this is on the ground. If I can frame the question, there are persons who sense the agenda for the result. And if you are agenda setting, then the whole issue of censorship, because if you look at a concrete illustration, instead of it being a community of freedom and inquiry, it's a struggle for power and sense of agenda. And then if you turn to Margaret Thatcher, all the communities say, I do not intend, as Churchill would have said, to govern Majesty's first minister, in order to advocate setting a community of freedom. And therefore, in the Balkan War, she simply insists that the CIA was ready to make a billion for a way of communication. That the news will not be reported until after the war was won. Because if the war is serious enough to commit a British expedition or force, it's serious enough to control the image of that day. So that's the war of human battle in which the war, the story of the story presumed, at least in part, of the war. The story I could learn from the fact. And of course, the United States, since the controversial issue, learned exactly the same thing about British. We do not want the accidental bombing of the same thing if you're on television. You will wait for the third or fourth day, and then you can tell the story, and we will tell the story. And although on the first model, censorship is the process of inquiry, this is the first cardinal sin. On the second model, control of the agenda, and not to advocate control of the agenda, this becomes critical. And indeed, the problem is even pushed most aggressively by Denise Catherine, when she said, if that is the issue, then the truth, we at least, are elected government. Thatcher after the fall stands or falls. Their own stands or falls. We are an elected government, and we stand or fall. So who is the media company? I'm not talking about the woman in Boston who was talking about your name. The media company is great power. She argues, after the time, quoted at great length in the interview, that a typical good science says that if the power is irresponsible, the government doesn't have the ability. The largest may be overstated, because of course we would have, apart from the freedom of inquiry model, we have facts competition. Of course, the answer is a question of facts. To what degree is there freedom competition? What degree are the seven elites of the media that define the folks in the media economy and free competition as and to at least an open question in my mind, none of genuine competition, except for the way in which we get conflicted in each other. We don't always need a proper professional ethics. Of course, you would say peer review. Of course, you would say peer review. It's a question of peer review. outside bodies that function at the steering. And with great degree, it could be formed from water. Even if the function was made, we reject and exclude that kind of adversarial device and the rest of the rock form. Therefore, I think particular human power of a Jenny said, if that's true, then we face a nervous system, a dilemma. We do not wish to use any kind of proposal of human expression. Yet we do expect that it is not simply a question. It is a question of justice. How the James says concerns also the concept of the important values for the government and of the church. Now I think that of course the class is on almost elements of
This is Morris Fine. We will now be proceeding to the Friday morning session.